I'm going to ask you to bow in prayer and we'll consider God's word. So, Father, thank you for how we can be here today. And we thank you for how we can come and have on camp a time of church, breaking bread together and singing songs together, songs of worship and adoration to you. And we thank you for how we have your word that we're going to look at now. And we ask that you would bless us and help us as we look at your word, and that you would help us to listen to you. We trust that you will speak to us now, that you will minister to us. So help us on our part to have an open heart towards you. And so, Father, for those of us who aren't there yet, may you draw us to Jesus. May we listen to you and your call on our life. And for many of us who are there, we ask that we might be listening well. Help us not to become apathetic and switched off. Help us to listen well and to be ever growing in our faith. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so for us all here on camp and for those who are online, we are at a beautiful setting, aren't we? Are we not? They're not very convincing. It's pretty lovely. Only 100 metres away is the beach, beautiful beach, and we've had two lovely days of weather. And even those who came earlier have had some beautiful weather. So it's beautiful, and I'm not trying to make the online people jealous, of course. But if they were here, they would be going, yes, what a lovely spot. And it's just been so nice to hang out together. And I know a few of us will be leaving, unfortunately, this afternoon, and a few on Monday. Others are staying till Tuesday and beyond. But we have a beach, and I know this afternoon, I reckon many of us will be going for maybe a swim and enjoying the beach. It feels a bit cold right now, but maybe in the afternoon. And the reason I'm emphasising the word beach is because we're going to be looking at a fantastic story in the Bible, and the setting of this story is the beach, all right? And it's a beach on the beautiful Sea of Galilee, a beautiful sea that Jesus spent a lot of time around and on, walking on, and in a boat. And we're going to be looking at this based on John chapter 21. So John chapter 21. And in this very lovely and moving story, Jesus will be asking one of his disciples the most important question. Does anyone know what that most important question is? That's it. Do you love me? That's the L word. We're to listen to God, but we need to move beyond just listening to be a person who loves God. And we're going to see Jesus asking this most important question to Peter, one of his disciples. And now this question isn't the most important question I can think of, and that's because our eternity is dependent on how we answer it. So there is a heaven, there is a hell. And where we end in eternity depends upon how we answer this question of Jesus, do you love me? Do you love me? So before we get into that question, we're going to look at the beautiful story leading up to that question. And you can nickname this Breakfast on the Beach with Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Isn't that cool? Breakfast on the beach with Jesus. I couldn't imagine anything better than that. On the Sea of Galilee. And as we go through, as I normally do, I never plan to do this, but there's three little things we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the Lord Christ. That's the first one. Then love for Christ. And then this big one, the love of Christ for us. So the Lord Christ, our love for Christ, and the love of Christ for us. So let's start looking at John chapter 21. We'll read the first three verses. Okay, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. That's another name for the Sea of Galilee. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we also will come with you. And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Well, that's a bit of a surprise. First of all, Peter, James and John were professional fishermen before they met Jesus. So they knew how to fish, and they'd been fishing all night, that's a long time, and they caught zip. What do you think of that? All right, I want to start to introduce you to the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ, the glory of the Lord Christ is going to just shine out in the next 14 verses. And the first thing I want you to be aware of, that the reason why they caught nothing, because Jesus had arranged it. All right? Sometimes we go through stuff in life and we wonder, what is going on? It's pretty tough, but Jesus has arranged it for a reason. Behold the Lord Christ. He actually is sovereign. He rules and reigns. All right, we'll keep reading. Verse 4, but when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Don't you love his humility? No song and dance. To the disciples, they're about 100 yards away. He just looks like a stranger. And verse 5 says, so Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Well, this is a great story. Look at these things, hey? So let me look at some other things here. Behold the Lord Christ. Do you see things in this passage here, what we've just read, that are amazing? Look at Jesus. Like, he knows they've caught nothing. How did you know that? And then he knows where the fish are. And he tells them to cast the net on the right side, and he brings the fish into the net. This is the Lord Christ. He knows everything. And it's really important we understand the wonder and the glory of our Lord Jesus. I just want to keep saying as I go through this passage, behold the Lord Christ. Look at him here. Look at him there. Look at his character. All right. And we ought to get excited about Jesus, by the way. There's no one like him. Now, which of the disciples is going to work it out? Well, that's in the next verse, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So one of them worked it out. Who was the first one to work it out? John. He is known as the beloved disciple. So he was always the most switched on, and he worked it out. He just says those words, it is the Lord. So can you imagine him, you know, the whole fit, all these fish are in the net, and I imagine he's thinking, the first one to think through this, hang on, how is this occurring? That stranger's got to be the Lord. So that's what happens. So John finds out. And you know, just in terms of a few other things about the Lord Christ, look at all these things as they work it out that it's Jesus. Not only does he know all things, but look at the number of fish they got. And the whole net is full of fish. And all these things make me think of Jesus. He's always so generous and overflowing. They didn't just catch a few fish. It's a whole lot of fish. This is our Jesus, generous and abundant. Okay, what happens next? Well, let's read the next part of verse 7. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work. That didn't fish naked, just means he didn't have his all the rest of his clothes on. And then I love how my Bible's got it, and he threw himself into the sea. That's just a funny way to put it, isn't it? Threw himself into the sea, grabbed his body and threw himself in. I think what it meant is he just went swimming. All right, so he's swimming. And I want to just pick up something beautiful here about Peter. If you think about all that's happened in his life leading up to this point in time, he was the one who denied Jesus 3 times. As soon as John said to him, it's the Lord, look at him. He's jumped ship. He doesn't care about those fish anymore. All his good friends in the boat, he is out of the boat and swimming to Jesus. That's great devotion. That's how we're meant to be. What's the most important thing in our life? We're meant to be the Lord. So that's a beautiful picture in Peter. All right, now we're going to read verses 8 and 9. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. So I just want you to think through this. So here they are, Everything's pretty amazing. Everything's perfect. They got all this fish. The net's not broken. They couldn't bring the net into the boat. They had to drag the net to shore. All these fish, amazing. And then they come to the shoreline. And, of course, Peter's already there. And there's Jesus. And Jesus is sitting by a fire. And there's fish and bread there. And they, can you just imagine this, going, wow. So you should ask some questions here. Who lit the fire? Who got the fish? Who made the bread? Oh, Jesus. And I want you to just remind yourself of, here is Jesus, truly raised from the dead bodily. Not spiritually, bodily. In his brand new, glorious, eternal body, he can do things. And he can even eat. And of course, he could do a whole lot more things than that. We wonder about when the doors were locked in that room and he just came straight through. Did he just come through the wall? We don't know. But that's Jesus. And I just love this picture of his body. Look at his glorious body, able to do all the things we do and beyond. All right. Yeah, when I read something like this, I can't help but get so many different thoughts. So just bear with me as I go through it. But don't forget, what we're doing through this section is we're beholding the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ. So then we come to verses 10 and 11. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." So Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, must have been half in the water, full of large fish, 153. Somebody counted them. I wonder why you do that. Anyway, 153. "And although there were so many, the net was not torn." Yeah, so perfect catch. And everything's perfect. Because that's how it is with Jesus. Everything is perfect. All the fish, net's not torn. And there it is. Amazing. So Jesus. And then we read here in verses 12 to 14. "Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' And none of the disciples ventured to question him, 'Who are you?' Knowing that it was the Lord." So I imagine a part of them is going, "We know who you are, but we want to ask you, but we better not, because you are the Lord." I don't know how their thinking was. So, it was the Lord, definitely the Lord. And verse 13 says, "Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead." The third time being in a group setting of just the disciples. The third time. Because he needed to show them that he was truly alive. Alive from the dead. And as I look at this part of the story, I want you to picture something beautiful here. I love seeing how Jesus is with his disciples on a beach and he is enjoying the company of his disciples. Do you reckon he is? I reckon he is. And listen to this. He's enjoying the company of those disciples, including Thomas. Thomas is there. Doubting Thomas. Peter is there. The one who denied him three times. And he's enjoying their company. Oh, wow, what a beautiful thing that is. They had hurt him. Thomas refused to believe. And Peter denied him three times, very strongly. But look at Jesus, still hanging out with them. Enjoying their company. And eating with them. Eating with them. When I was thinking this morning as I was going through this, I thought, wow, this is a beautiful picture of what it's going to look like in heaven. We're in glory and in the new creation. Us motley crew, if we love Jesus, we're going to be there enjoying the Lord's presence and eating with him. You know, we'll be eating? Eating on the new creation. We'll be having the wedding feast to begin with in heaven. And we'll be having that forever and ever. Just think, picture that. Being in the presence of Jesus, where he will be enjoying our presence and eating with us. That's a beautiful picture to hold on to. Oh, wow. So the other thing I also pick up here is Jesus has everything perfect. He's got the fire going. He's got the fish there. He's got bread there. The net's not torn. He's blessed them with so many fish. But he also says to them, "Go and get some fish." And I look at that and I go, wow, look at this. Jesus loves to, he could do everything himself, but he loves to include us in his will. Doesn't he? He loves to include you. Oh, you might mess it up, but that's okay. He wants to include you. He wants to include you in all his plans and purposes on this earth. He could do it all, couldn't he not? He could do it all, but he wants to use you. So that's what I see here too. So I want to finish this little section by saying, behold the Lord Christ. What do you think of Jesus? Isn't this a beautiful story of who he is? The Lord Christ. Okay, now we're going to look at something else. And now we come to that most important question. So in verse 15, we read, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I'll just pause there. Wow, so we're not sure if this happened in the group setting or maybe where Simon Peter is a little bit away from the group. Later on he's away from the group. And Jesus says to Peter this most important question. He actually uses his original name, Simon, son of John, not just Peter. And he asked Peter this most important question, do you love me? And it's more than that, do you love me more than these? I think we need to understand that question in all its fullness. So what Jesus is saying to Peter is, do you love me more than what? I imagine that when Jesus said that question, he's got his hand out and he's got his hand going like this, which would indicate what? Do you love me, Peter, more than your good mates? More than fishing? Oh, he loves fishing. More than the boat? More than the beautiful Sea of Galilee? In other words, Peter, do you love me more than anyone or anything else? That's the big question. That's a huge question. And the question needs to be answered in a way where we can say yes. If we can't say yes, then that means we have idols. We have other gods in our life. And according to Jesus' own words, we're not there yet. We're not saved yet. Because we are to love him more than anyone or anything else to be in a place where we are saved. And that includes the greatest new love in this world. What's the greatest new love in this world? The love of self. The love of self. There are many so-called Christians these days who go to church who love themselves more than Jesus. And they con themselves by saying that they love Jesus when they don't really. They're out for what they can get out of it. They love self more than Jesus. And this is a question we need to ask ourselves, as I need to ask myself. Do I love Jesus more than anyone or anything else? And I want to look at this again. Notice that Jesus doesn't say what we might expect. After Peter had denied Jesus three times, Jesus doesn't say to him, do you believe in me? Do you trust in me? What do you think of that? And that's because that's a great question as well, but the greater question is, do you love me? Because you see, we should know this, even the devil believes in Jesus, but it's got to be more than belief. Our heart needs to be affected, and we need to love Jesus more than anyone or anything else. And we are to love him more than anyone or anything else because of who he is and because of what he's done for us. It's those things that cause us to want to love him more than anyone or anything else. It moves our heart from just head knowledge to heart knowledge, where we come to not only believe in Jesus, but we love him. Yep, that's a really important question. And I love Peter's answer. Simon Peter. He said to him, yes, Lord. Wow, that's a great answer. He could say, yes, Lord, but it's easy just to say, yes, Lord. I could ask any of you here and go, do you love Jesus? And you could easily say, yes, Lord, even if you're not a Christian. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. It's easy to just say it. But look what Peter says. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. In other words, you can just imagine Peter opening his heart to Jesus. You can see me. Look inside me. You know, Lord, that I love you. That's an amazing answer, isn't it? And I wonder if we can go that far. We can sing, yes, Lord. We can even in our prayer say, yes, Lord, I love you. But are we willing to allow Jesus to look into our heart? And would we say the words of Peter then? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. That's where we've got to get to. We can't deceive. We can't muck around in this area. We can put on a show in front of everybody else. But what does Jesus say? Do we love him? Would Jesus say, yes, I agree. You love me more than anyone or anything else. And then I want to just have a look at a few other things. We also have Jesus' words in verse 15 at the end. It says there after Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus then said to him, tend my lambs. And that's an action. And we might be surprised that there's something that follows. It's not like Jesus just says, great. He says, feed my lambs. And another thing that we need to realize is that when it comes to Jesus, he is really impressed in regards to us loving him when we are living for him, when we're doing the things he calls us to do. So we all should know this. We can give lip service to Jesus. We can sing those songs, I love you, Lord. But it's another thing to be living a life of obedience to him, following him. And Jesus himself brought this out earlier in John's Gospel, in John chapter 14 and also John chapter 15. But I'll read John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, who knows this verse? If you love me, you'll sing songs of praise. No, it doesn't say that. If you love me, you'll tell me that when you pray. No. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Wow. So for Jesus, he sees that love for him when we listen to him and we obey him. All right. Well, what about how I muck up, though? Well, that's included too. The thing about us, if we love Jesus more than anyone or anything else, when we mess up, I know this in my own heart, what do we do when we mess up, when we sin against the Lord? We feel the pain of hurting the one who loves us so much. We cannot help but pray for Jesus to forgive us. That's part of love too. And we ask Jesus to forgive us again for what we've done. We don't just keep doing whatever we want. And even though, yeah, we are meant to obey him, we show our love for in obeying him, we also show our love for him when we're on our knees asking him to forgive us for what we've done wrong. Oh, how beautiful it is to love Jesus. And now I'm going to read the next two verses of John 21. And we read in verses 16 and 17. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? It's interesting now what it says here. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. So Peter would be thinking, maybe Jesus doesn't believe that I love him. And look at Peter's beautiful answer. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Oh, I love that answer. It's like he wants to expose his heart even more. Lord, look inside. I love you more than anyone or anything else. And then Jesus said to him that third time, tend my sheep. And what do you reckon? Did Simon Peter really love Jesus? He sure did. He's the disciple who became an apostle. He was the first one to preach courageously. He could have been killed before a great crowd of people telling everyone about Jesus. And he lived his life for Jesus. Did he muck it up at times? Yeah, he sure did. Paul told him off one time. and yet he also asked for God's forgiveness. And he lived his life. He obeyed Jesus. And he was even martyred for the faith because he loved Jesus more than his own life. He loved Jesus. And you know, we need to stop now and just think about our own life. Do we love Jesus? Do we love him more than anyone or anything else? As Jesus casts his hand over everything in our life and anything in our life, all the things we do, all the things we love to do, is it true as Jesus looks into your heart? Can he say, you love me more than anyone or anything else? Wow, good on you, my child. Or does he see conflict there? Does he see other gods and idols in our life? Does he see our life compromised? And it saddens Jesus that we haven't got there yet. We haven't got there yet. Hey, why did Jesus ask him three times? Most of us answer because Peter denied Jesus three times. So he got asked by Jesus three times, do you love me? There's another thing we could say here too. I reckon he was asked three times because it's the most important question. It's the most important question we can ask ourselves. Do you love Jesus? Let's get beyond believing now. Not just believe, but do you love Jesus with all your heart? Right, the last bit I want to have a look at is this next bit, which says this. We would not even love Jesus if it wasn't for the fact that he loved us. And there's a beautiful verse in the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, where Jesus says, John says, we love because he first loved us. Well, let's just acknowledge that right now. I would not love Jesus, and none of you would love Jesus. You would do what everyone else does in the world. You would despise Jesus. That's what the world does. It seems like it's cool to despise Jesus. You would not love Jesus unless you somehow came across his love for you. It's his love for you that has caused you to love him. And I'm absolutely sure when I think of Simon Peter's life, that he could say, yes, Lord, I love you, because Peter came to know how much Jesus loved him. And as I was going through preparing, I just thought of some of the key things in his life which would have really touched his heart so much. Think of Peter. He was just a worthless fisherman, but chosen by Christ. Put yourself in this. Who are you? Chosen by Christ. He was in a boat one time, absolutely scared to death that he's going to drown. And this person gets up and says, peace be still, and saves them all. What love to save them. Another time, Peter was out the boat, walking on the water, and he's sinking, and he's going to drown in deep water. And he says, what do you say? Save me, Lord. And he knew straight away the hand of Jesus on his hand, pulling him up. What love. Think of all these moments in Peter's life that would have just cemented into his mind and heart, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh, that reminds me of that song, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But Peter's experiencing it. Well, think of that time when at the Last Supper, and there they are at the beginning of the Last Supper, and Jesus takes a towel and stoops down and washes the disciples' feet, even Peter's feet. And Peter got told by Jesus, I'm doing this because I love you. Wow. And what about this other time at the Last Supper where Jesus knows exactly what Peter's going to do. You're going to deny me three times. Satan's going to tempt you to do that. And then Jesus says to Peter in Luke 22, 31 and 32, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. That means to try you and to bring you down. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Oh, wow. The Lord knew all that was going to happen. I've prayed for you, Peter. And then he said, then you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Can you just imagine all these things in Peter's life? Why do you think he loved Jesus so much? Because of how much Jesus had loved him. And when Simon Peter did deny Jesus three times, there is a moment in Luke's gospel which is incredible. In Luke 22, verse 61, straight after Simon Peter denied the Lord, we read, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter, he saw the Lord. Look at him. And he remembered Jesus' words, and he went out and wept bitterly. So sad what he had done. But he saw the look of Jesus. Can you imagine what that look would have been? A look of love. A look of disappointment, but a look of love. I don't reckon you'd forget that. And then, after the resurrection, we read that the angel was told specifically to say to the woman that these words, go tell his disciples that he is alive and tell Peter. That would have been very special for Peter. To be signaled out that he hadn't been forgotten, he hadn't blown it, because Jesus' love is beyond all measure, higher than the highest heavens. deeper than the deepest sea. This is the love of Christ that a man called Peter experienced. And through all the ups and downs of his life, he was able to know the love of Christ, and that's the thing that causes us to love Jesus more than anyone or anything else. So can you apply that to your own life? Can you look at your own life and see Jesus' love for you? If you're a Christian, how he chose you. Have you ever thought through that? How on earth did I ever come to believe in the gospel and come to know Jesus? How did that happen? And all those big things that you came to realize that Jesus actually died on the cross, not just for the whole world, but for you, bearing your sin, your dirt, being punished for what you've done wrong, because he loves you personally. Wow. See him in the Garden of Gethsemane, broken, in tears, on the ground, even asking the Father for the cup to be removed from him. But then he says, not my will, but yours be done. And he gets up and he goes to that cross and he is falsely accused. He is treated horribly. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't defend himself because he loves you so much. He goes to that cross for you. He says, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. At the very end, he says, it is finished. What's finished? Our salvation, because of his love for us. But you know, what's blowing me away over these many years I've been a Christian is this love of Jesus that just doesn't stop. And it's not just like I look to an event way back 2,000 years ago, but I know that in my own life I experience the love of Jesus so often because I mess up. And I have a Saviour who is so forgiving, who does not treat me as my sins deserve, nor repay me according to my iniquities, who allows me to continue in being a pastor, who allows me to continue to be his child, because his love is so great. And I just can't think of, there's too many things in my mind to share with you, the love that I've experienced from Jesus in my own life. And it's those things that, of course, fire my heart up, where I just want to say to you all, I love Jesus with all my heart because of his great love for me. And I hope you can say that too. We love him because he first loved us. So it's one thing to listen to Jesus, listen to Christ, that's the Father's words to us. Remember that what we looked at last night? This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. The next big thing is we need to love Jesus. And so if you are a Christian, if you believe you're a genuine Christian, I want to help you realize you need to grow that love. Love is not a dormant thing, it's to grow. You need to look at this. How can I grow my love for Christ? Well, look at Christ more. Look at his love for you. Walk closely with him. Experience his love today, tomorrow. Open your heart to him. And if you're not a Christian yet, I don't know why not. He's the lover of your soul. He gave his life for you. He will be there for you through everything in life. Everyone is acceptable to him, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. He is truly the lover of our soul. Amen. So now we're going to sing a song. There's lots of songs about the love of Jesus. But I thought I'd pick one we often sing at communion time, which is number 44. Which one is it? When I Survey. And this song, number 44, When I Survey, I just want to read a few verses to you. I think verse 3 and 4. It says, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? So when you think of Jesus there on the cross and bleeding and dying, we're meant to see that there's a sadness we see there, but there's a love that is oozing from the cross, a love for us. And then it says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's stand. good to put your name there. So if I put my name there, the great question, the most important question that Jesus asked, he asked Simon Peter, was this. So applying it to myself personally, Ian, do you love me more than these? And I wonder if we can answer like Peter did. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what about that third time? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. It's those who love Jesus who will one day be welcomed into heaven, and they will enjoy his eternal presence forever and eat with the King forever and ever, every day. How beautiful it is to love him, to let go of every other love in our life, and to love him more than anything and anyone else. That's the big test these days. There's so many competing loves and interests in our life. It's like listening. There's so much noise out there. To listen to Jesus is hard. And it's so hard to love Jesus because we have so many things we can love. But we must love him more than ourselves. Love Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your beautiful Son. Thank you that last night we saw the importance of listening to him. He's not just anybody. He is your Son. He has the words of eternal life. He's the one who alone can tell us all about you and life and what's to come. And I ask for all of us that we would listen to him well. Please would you stop us blocking him and wanting not to listen to him and just wanting to be caught up with whatever we want to listen to. And Lord, please would that listening break forth into something more than just listening. May we come to love Jesus as we listen to him, the lover of our soul, as he speaks into our being, as he assures us of how much we are loved by him, that we would love him in return. And Lord, I pray for everyone here who is born of your Spirit, that we would taste of your Son's love every day, that we would become more sensitive to him and to realize that we are loved no matter what we've done, that his love for us is unconditional. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a great love for you, a love that's growing, a love that is often always kindled because of your love. And for us, Lord, any of us who aren't there yet, we ask that you would help them to be broken and humbled and brought to that place of surrender as we realize that we are loved by Jesus. Lord, please, would you do that? I remember that in my own life when that happened, when I was overwhelmed with tears, Lord, because of as I began to grasp how much you love me. May you do that in the lives of people here today who aren't Christians yet. So, Lord, thank you that you receive us, though. That's so beautiful. You will never turn anyone away. All who come to you are most welcome. So, Lord, thank you for your heart. And, Lord, I just thank you for your love to us today because, yeah, we can muck it up even today, but thank you that love keeps going on. May we just love you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for this time at camp, and we pray that you bless the rest of our day and give travelling mercies to those who travel home. And, Lord, if we're not there yet, help us to talk to people around us who love you, that we might ask those good questions about Jesus. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.